A few years back, my uncle who lives in Eretz Yisrael, his name is Rabbi Eliezer Liff, the Rashiva happens to know him, he pointed out to me a startling comment of the Mesillas Yesharim to me, especially the seniors. I know this is mostly seniors, a couple of juniors. You know that this year on Friday afternoons when I have the schus to meet with everybody at 11:30, sometimes with all of you, sometimes with individual shiurim. So you all know that the Sefer that probably had the greatest impact on my life as a youngster really was the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim. And if you've ever studied Mesillas Yesharim, I know a number of you have opened it up a little bit. Apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but the rumor when I was growing up was that the Vilna Gaon said that in the first 11 chapters of Mesillas Yesharim, there's not one extra word. Mesillas Yesharim talks a lot about how a person builds himself as a Ben Torah, as a Yirei Shamayim, how a person builds his whole hashkafa of life, his whole outlook on how to look. And I think one of the reasons people say that the Vilna Gaon said the first 11 chapters is not one extra word is because when you start getting, even in the first 11 chapters, he starts getting to pretty high levels, high madrigos, very, very high levels that maybe your typical high school of 15, 16-year-old may not be ready. Even for the first 11 chapters, Kal Vachomer, when you get into chapter 12, chapter 14, chapter 16, chapter 18, you start getting into these very, very high madrigas of Yiras Chet and Anava. It's difficult. And a lot of people who learn Mesillas Yesharim, they only get to the first 11 chapters. They never get to chapter 14 or 16 or 18. My uncle showed me the very last page of Mesillas Yesharim. The very last page. Shocking. To me, it was shocking when he showed this to me. And I'm saying these words in introducing the Rosh Yeshiva this morning because I was so unbelievably excited by the recent Sefer that the Rosh Yeshiva put out. We were actually seriously considering giving it out to everybody at graduation. Happens to be we had already committed to a different Sefer at graduation, but I would say this Sefer is really absolutely required reading for anyone who wants to be able to go into the world and to see what I got out of the Sefer. I read it like it took me 2 days to read the whole Sefer. It's in English. And what I got out of it more than anything is how a person can go out into the world, whatever profession you happen to be going into, to feel like you are serving Hashem every second, whatever profession you're in. This is the greatness, the simplicity and the greatness at the same time of the Sefer that Rav Lopiansky recently authored. On the last page of Mesillas Yesharim, after going through all these very high madrigas, these high levels, he basically says that a person who is a garbage man for his profession, if you are a garbage man, but you have the right attitude and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel like you're making a Kiddush Hashem, the way you talk to people, the way you act, the way you are with money, the way you are honest, the way you have integrity. If you're a garbage man, you could be on the same level as someone who sits and learns Torah all day long. I was like, whew. That was a Kiddush to me. This is the Mesillas Yesharim. This is at the very end, the last page of the Sefer. I would urge everyone, open up the last page of the book. Just take a look at the last paragraph. It's incredible. And then hopefully you'll learn the rest of the Sefer also. But I think Klal Yisrael owes a debt of gratitude to Rav Lopiansky for publishing this Sefer, which basically, it's called Ben Torah for Life. It's in English. I would strongly urge everyone to get a copy of it. The juniors, maybe you'll get it at next year's graduation. We'll see. But it's a great covenant of schus for us that the Rosh Yeshiva Rav Lopiansky has agreed to take from his time to spend a few moments with us today, this morning. Please give your undivided attention to Rav Aaron Lopiansky.
I mean, I think one of the things I try to write in the book about, try to get across, is there are different tkufas in life. Each tkufa has its challenges and its achievements. And, once we understand that, a lot of things begin to fall into place. I'd like to speak about something which I think is probably one of the challenges and opportunities for a teenager, for somebody at the cusp of adulthood and at sort of the station in life where you are. I first like to say, acknowledge it's I come to, I never was here before, and you know, I see faces and I know Roy Willig, and I know Dr. Broda was a Talmud by us. We have connection with Kamenetsky. It's interesting connections. You know, the things you see, how we've always felt Dr. Broda had tremendous promise in Baruch Hashem. I understand he's realizing it and so on. So I'd like to speak about something that I think is relevant to a tkufa in life, exciting tkufa of this tkufa in your life. And we'll talk about a Pesach again. We'll start with a Pesach point, and I think we'll understand something about who we are and what we are. Let's start with a simple Gemara. Gemara Pesachim says, Reb Nachman called in his Eved, Dor Avdi, and he said, what would you do if a master set you free and he gave you money and so on? And he said, oh, I would praise him and I'd say wonderful things about him. I said, that's it. You parted us from Anishtana. Okay? It sounds as the most oversimplified version of Pesach possible. Because we were in trouble, we were slaves, Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. Wonderful. But it's not so simple. There's sort of a catch to it. In countless places, two that come to mind now, Chazal say, Avodei Heim, it's a Pasuk, V'loi Avodim Lavodim. Chazal is putting a Pasuk. Asher Alkein Poda'acho Hashem Alekecho, Almenas Kein Shetu Avodim. So Chazal mentioned numerous times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us from slavery to become his slaves. So now let's redo Reb Nachman's dialogue. What would you say to a master that bought you from a different master and made you his slave? I would say nothing. I mean, what I have to say? Maybe can this look better, because we went free. The Pasuk tells us we're avodim. The Pasuk tells us we have to stay avodim. And what does it mean, avodim to avodim? I mean, once you're a slave, it's like when you're working at a low-level job, I don't know, receptionist somewhere, and the corporation was bought out by a multinational corporation, it makes zero difference to you whatsoever. You have the same working hours, your same, everything is the same. There's no change to each. So Torah is telling you, I want you to be avodim, but not avodim to avodim. What difference does it make? And Eved means, you're working hard and so on, and whatever you're sweating, you're sweating. So what difference does it make whose cotton field you're plugging in? That's something to think about. I want to ask one more point, maybe. It says, Ozen sheshama kili avodim bnei Yisrael, and he went and sold himself. That's why if he's mochatzmo and decides to stay as an eved nirza, that's why he gets the hole punched in his ear and so on. It's technically not correct. We didn't hear in Sinai avodai heim. I mean, yes, all of Torah was given at Sinai, but what we heard was two dibras. So you could say, well, those two dibras included everything. All of Torah was given at Sinai, but Chazal use a phrase, a metaphor, Ozen Sheshama B'Sinai. I'd like to put a finger on where did we hear it in Sinai. Those are points I'd like to ponder. So let's start with the concept of slavery, of avdus. What's bad with being an eved? What's terrible with being an eved? So you work hard, you work long hours, You work under difficult conditions. Okay. You also don't get paid much. Sustenance. Up to this point, it could be a chinuch job. No, there's nothing about it that would distinguish it, except air conditioning maybe. But other than that, it's not. I mean, there are many, many, many people work long, hard hours, don't make much money, and conditions are not easy. You have people who leave a job and they open up their own business, and they work much harder at their own business then I had a job. I grew up in Lower East Side, 50s, 60s, and many people had jobs, hard, rough work. Work was difficult. If you opened up your own little shop in Orchard Street or Ludlow Street, you worked longer hours. So some people became wealthy, but I don't know if that was, economically speaking, if you translate the chance of becoming wealthy and so on, I don't think that was the driving force behind it. So what is the driving force behind it? So let's understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us, in the core of who we are, a sense of self. And just like physical survival is the most important thing for a person, the sense of self, of me, is the core of a person. And the person will do anything to realize that sense of self. So if a person is doing something for somebody else, and he can't translate in his mind that he's doing it for himself, I'm working as a bookkeeper for somebody's corporation, and I'm not realizing my own abilities, we become very crushed, depressed, and down. The ultimate of that is slavery. I have in myself ambition of some sort. I have myself a desire to realize myself. And when I have zero ability to do so, I'm a destroyed person every day that I am working. Because I'm eating, my body is surviving, but nothing of self is surviving. So the concept of self is what's destroyed in slavery. And that's why slavery is so difficult. And when you get freed, that's what you do. You realize the sense of self, and now you can become, you can become the farmer you wanted to become. You can develop the fields where you wanted to, and so on. That is slavery versus freedom. Let's take it a step further. When we sit back and reflect on what do we want, there's some conflict. Who am I? On the one hand, I'd like to have some fun, hang out, do things. On the other hand, I'd like to be a doctor. I'd like to be a lawyer. I'd like to be whatever. And at different times, there's a Vayisotzu Bekirbo about identifying the sense of self. The general rule of thumb about what is self is what has lasting power. What do you feel like doing now? What do you want to do? I want to hang out by the pizza store. It's not your continuous, you don't say it every day about the same thing. But you do want to become a doctor, and you can identify that as being a sort of core self, versus periphery, which is something, let's say, just the body kind of is lazy and wants it. It's like when I say I want to go to sleep, I don't mean it as a life's, I mean, some people it's a life's ambition, but generally speaking, we're talking about it as a temporary wanting and so on. So within a person himself, identifying self and identifying periphery desires, whims, moods, is really crucial for realizing self versus kind of just being swept up with whatever happens to be at the moment. If we ask ourselves, for instance, it ultimately, the struggle between a physical self and a spiritual self focuses around this point. Because there's a self of me that wants good, giving, purity, understanding, knowledge, wisdom. And there's a part of myself that wants to have a good time and just kind of whatever. And in that struggle, there's a sense of trying to identify who is me and who is not me. It will require reining in the part that's not you for the part that's you. So for instance, a person that's really driven to be a basketball player, star basketball player, he's going to stand hours and hours and days in the hot sun listening to a coach cursing him and dribbling incessantly and shooting the ball, not because he enjoys it per se, but because he said, my goal is to be this, and I need to do all these things to bring me to there. When I identify correctly the part of myself that's master and the part of myself that's servant, then I go where I want to go. The most critical piece in a person's development is the identifying self, master, versus subservient and accessory. That's the way to describe it. I want to talk about the kufa that you're in. A child is born naturally feeling that he is part of his parents. A child doesn't want to be separated from his parents. A child is dependent on them, dependent physically, emotionally. If the parent says, you're good, I feel good. The parent says, you're bad, I feel bad. A child is born attached to his parents and doesn't have a strong sense of self yet. And then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a tkuf in life called Alkein Yazov Ish Es Aves Imo. And it dovetails with your age. Teenager, the core motivation of a teenager is to find his self. And finding his self is the most important piece of the puzzle. And that's why you get this kind of tug of war to some degree, friction to some degree with parent authority, because it's part of realizing self. But just because a person has that drive to realize his self and he begins to pull, he doesn't mean he's identified self yet. Because every day you want something else. Moods have a way of swinging, and that identifies them as moods instead of a real rutzen. In Hebrew, there's two words for wanting. There are a few words, actually. But rutzen and chefetz are very, they're similar words, and they mean something very different. Rotzon is a very ruchnistika, pnimiistika drive. Chefetz is physical, temporary, ad hoc, and so on. That's the type of difference. So, what is our pnimiistika rotzon? So, I would like to say something, a bit of a chiddush, but I think it's emes. We say names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Yudke Vavke, Elokim, Ka, many different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they all have Kedusha. There's one name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only doesn't have Kedusha, but it overlaps with us. And that is Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The word Anochi, the way Sfarim Kedoshim write, Anochi is the most pnimiistic name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so transcendent that it does not even have Kedusha Das, it is beyond. It is Anochi is an essential self. Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Yisrael, Elokecha is how he runs the world, and so on. But when I read in the Torah Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the word Anochi means I. And the answer is, the deepest part of a person is a chilek elokai mimal. Whatever it means that at the very core of a person is something that resonates with whatever Ratzon Hashem is. Every single person's anochi is anochi Hashem elokecha. So now when a person is setting up his own structure of life, and a person is setting up direction and what becomes a serving to what? If you get it wrong, you're never going to be happy. A person works all his life forgetting something that's not him will at the end of his life regret it. There was a fellow who was an Esh HaTorah. He's now, he has a hospital wing in Lakewood, Dr. Leibowitz, Howie Leibowitz, and brilliant person. He was number one in his class in Harvard. Wonderful person. And he once shared with me one of the profound moments. He was a he was an intern, a doc, and he was standing with a man that was dying. And his kids, two sons were there, and they were fighting who gets the father's car. After the old man drops dead, they walked out, he turns to Dr. Leibowitz and says, "Doctor, I think my life has been one big mistake." That's a terrible thing. It you can never, ever find the tranquility of self if what you are trying for is not self. And part of our emuna of who we are, and Nuri Bainshlam is that self, the anochi of a person, somehow is identical to anochi Hashem Elokecha. Extraordinary. So when a person asks himself, how will I realize the menuchas hanefesh of a person finding himself, it's to put down the array of inner drives in the right direction. It means the master is the anochi of anochi Hashem Elokecha, and everything else fits in. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us lavin, isurim, they're not there to make life difficult. They're there to make life efficient. Where should I not waste my kochos? And by not wasting myself and dispersing myself all over the place, I'm able to focus everything and funnel it to realize myself. And it takes time until the pieces begin to come together. You see, sometimes a kid is very restless. And nothing is not, school is not this, that. And someone says, let him do music. The kid starts music, he gets into it, and he's 24/7 into it, and he's doing amazing. And you ask, well, how'd you guess? He said, well, his parents are both great musicians. I figured that's the kid's metzias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Anochi of us. And therefore, putting those pieces in place makes us become the person we really are. And as soon as those things begin clicking in place, we become the person. We begin to understand slowly who it is we are and what it is. Ozen sheshama besinai, I would like to say the pshat chiddush. Avodai v'lo avodil avodim. The ozen heard anochi Hashem Elokecha. That we heard. Avodim takarish baruch hu is not an effort to somebody else. It is, if we believe that we're a chelik al kai mimau, then being an evet HaKadosh Baruch Hu means we're putting our kochos to work for realizing our real self. It's not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a whole manner of slaves to work his estate. What it means is the ani, the master of a person, is the fact that he has an neshama tzalukai, and that puts all the kochos. So understanding Pesach that way gives us a very different perspective. It means it's a lot more than the physical difficulties of being a slave. It's a lot more than just having a hard life, an easy life. It means the key to going from doing something that's not us for someone that's not us, to finding ourselves and becoming who we are. It requires an internal harnessing of everything, but it's the right direction because it's who we are. It's a tkufa not only of Pesach, it's a tkufa in your lives, Baruch Hashem. It's a tkufa when people make tremendous changes and find themselves. You struggle to find yourself, but the end of the process is a person begins to get a sense of who he is and the road to travel. Anochi, there are many Elokechos. There's a Kei Avram, Kei Yisrael Yaakov. And different people will find themselves with a different Elokei. The person whose ruchnistic world is primarily chesed, person whose ruchnistic world is primarily emotion, the person whose ruchnistic world is primarily seichel. There are many, many different entrance ways to the world of ruchnis and mekomos chibur and how to become attached to it. But the one thing that's central to all those worlds is that Nikud of Anochi. So understand that in the process of doing the things to realize yourself, in the process of finding yourself, it will mean being able to discipline yourself, to harness yourself, and to make everything focus on who you want to be. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoch the Chayos of Pesach, and this wonderful tikkun in your lives. And looking back, most people find that this is the most profound change, and they became the person who they are. May the search be a little less painful and much more efficient. And may we find the Anochi in ourselves, in the right Nakuda, and may all the other pieces click in as efficiently and as quickly as possible, so that we become the person we are, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha that's in everybody's neshama. Batzlach.
Maybe if we just have a brief time, there's a question. Anybody has a question or two for the Rosh Yeshiva? Anybody have a question on what the Rosh Yeshiva said, on anything else? I neglected to mention that the Rosh Yeshiva is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Greater Washington. That's where Dr. Broder went to high school. It's also a yeshiva. There's a post high school yeshiva as well. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva of Greater Washington. Any questions? We'll use the 8-second rule. Got one?
I'll ask it.
Did someone back there have a question? No? Okay. Rabbi Storch, one question.
Maybe for them, but how does one find that inner self, that Anochi within them?
So, I would say two things. The first thing is brush aside the things that are easy come. In other words, if a person, you know, the easiest thing to do is not going to be that. It will take work. But in the world of Ruchnius itself, in general, and Mitzvah Shem, almost everybody will be in Yeshiva next year, there's a general course of Yiddishkeit for everybody. Everybody has to learn, everybody has to daven and so on. But you slowly begin to find a certain aptitude. One person finds his Ruchnius connection primarily in learning. One person finds a lot more in Ruach and davening and things of that nature. The two things you have to begin to get a feel for where it is, and you have to avoid an easy road. Whatever it is, there is nothing in the world that is worth something that comes easy. So you know, if somebody tells you, yeah, we graduate nuclear physics in a year, you know exactly what those courses are worth. Or, you know, whatever it is, it's not easy. It takes work, and it takes beginning to get a sense of where's my neshama find itself. That's why there's chassidim who find it in davening, and there's people who are tremendous haskanim and find it in chesed, and that people find it in giving different ways, and people find it in learning. And so there are different avenues, and if you're sensitive and you care enough, you begin to get it.
Okay. I want to thank the Rosh Yeshiva very much. I want you to please have this here.